The jungle river became narrower. The banks closed in on both sides until the trees and foliage overhanging the banks met high above to block out the sun. Tim heard the cry of birds and saw small chirping dinosaurs leaping among the branches. But mostly it was silent, the air hot and still beneath the canopy of trees. Grant looked at his watch. It was 8 o'clock. They drifted along peacefully among dappled patches of light. If anything, they seemed to be moving faster than before. Awake now, Grant lay on his back and stared up at the branches overhead. In the bough, he saw Lex reaching up. "Hey, what are you doing?" he said.
"You think we can eat these berries?"
She pointed to the trees. Some of the overhanging branches were close enough to touch. Tim saw clusters of bright red berries on the branches. "No," Grant said.
"Why, those little dinosaurs are eating them."
She pointed to small dinosaurs scampering in the branches. "No, Lex," she sighed, dissatisfied with his authority.
"I wish Daddy was here," she said. "Daddy always knows what to do." "What are you talking about?" Tim said. "He never knows what to do." "Yes, he does," she sighed.
Lex stared at the trees as they slid past, their big roots twisting toward the water's edge.
"Just because you're not his favorite."
Tim turned away, said nothing.
"But don't worry. Daddy likes you, too, even if you're into computers and not sports."
"Dad's a real sports nut," Tim explained to Grant.
Grant nodded. Up in the branches, small, pale yellow dinosaurs, barely 2 feet tall, hopped from tree to tree. They had beaky heads like parrots.
"You know what they call those?" Tim said. "Microceratops." "Big deal," Lex said. "I thought you might be interested." "Only very young boys," she said, "are interested in dinosaurs." "Says who?" "Daddy."
Tim started to yell, but Grant raised his hand. "Kids," he said, "shut up."
"Why?" Lex said. "I can do what I want if I..."
Then she fell silent, because she heard it too. It was a blood-curdling shriek from somewhere downriver.
"Well, where the hell is the damned Rex?" Muldoon said, talking into the radio. "Because we don't see him here."
They were back at the sauropod compound, looking out at the trampled grass where the hadrosaurs had stampeded. The tyrannosaur was nowhere to be found.
"Checking now," Arnold said and clicked off.
Muldoon turned to Gennaro.
"Checking now," he repeated sarcastically. "Why the hell didn't he check before? Why didn't he keep track of him?"
"I don't know," Gennaro said.
"He's not showing up," Arnold said a moment later. "What do you mean he's not showing up? He's not on the monitors. Motion sensors aren't finding him." "Hell," Muldoon said. "So much for the motion sensors. You see Grant and the kids? Motion sensors aren't finding them either." "Well, what are we supposed to do now?" Muldoon said.
"Wait," Arnold said.
"Look! Look!"
Directly ahead, the big dome of the aviary rose above them. Grant had seen it only from a distance. Now he realized it was enormous, a quarter of a mile in diameter or more. The pattern of geodesic struts shone dully through the light mist, and his first thought was that the glass must weigh a ton. Then as they came closer, he saw there wasn't any glass, just struts. A thin mesh hung inside the elements.
"It isn't finished," Lex said.
"I think it's meant to be open like that," Grant said.
"Then all the birds can fly out."
"Not if they're big birds," Grant said. The river carried them beneath the edge of the dome. They stared upward. Now they were inside the dome, still drifting down the river. But within minutes, the dome was so high above them that it was hardly visible in the mist. Grant said, "I seem to remember there's a second lodge here." Moments later, he saw the roof of a building over the tops of the trees to the north.
"You want to stop?" Tim said.
"Maybe there's a phone, or motion sensors."
Grant steered toward the shore. "We need to try to contact the control room. It's getting late." They clambered out, slipping on the muddy bank, and Grant hauled the raft out of the water. Then he tied the rope to a tree, and they set off through a dense forest of palm trees.